Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Without further ado, let's go to our guest on the hotline, our good friend at Hoops Critic on Twitter, hoopscritic.com, and of course SiriusXM's Brian Geltzeiler. Talking a little NBA, but I want to mix in a little March Madness too, as UMBC is hanging in with Kansas State in this second round game. What's going on, Geltz?
Hey, Shawnee, how we doing, buddy?
Doing good, Geltz. Appropriate, I think, that I mention UMBC as I bring you on. Before we get into any of the NBA stuff, you got into a little bit of a back and forth with some of our friends on Twitter over Tony Bennett's post-game comments after the upset loss by Virginia to UMBC on Friday night. I had not watched the press conference until a little bit earlier tonight. And I'm guessing you were talking about sort of his two-minute preamble into the press conference with the players there and so forth. And I actually have a little bit of the audio, just for context for the audience. Here's a snippet of the audio from the post-game press conference.
I grew up, played at Wisconsin Green Bay, the hyphenated schools. I know how good they are. I said it yesterday or the day before in the press conference. Good basketball knows no divisions or limits or qualities, and they played. All that matters is who plays the best. They earned their right to play in this tournament. We earned our right. They earned their right to move on, and it's who played the best for those 40 minutes, and they absolutely did.
All right, so, and there were multiple times there, Geltz, that he talked about getting outplayed. Outplayed was probably the most used word in that press conference, and not once did I hear the word coached, and I think that's kind of what you were driving at, were you not?
That was my big problem with the whole thing, is quite frankly, Tony Bennett in that moment, and there's a lot of people out there will tell you how classy and how wonderful they thought Tony Bennett was. Not only, and I was pointing more to his comments to Tracy Wolfson when he answered a question with her, but then I did watch the whole presser as well. And at one point during the presser, he said about his kids, they did everything that I asked them to do. But then he went back to, well, we didn't keep him out of the paint. Well, we didn't contain this one well. And the thing was, more than anything else, and you're right, outplayed was his big number. We got outplayed. And what I really wanted to hear at least one time was, I got outcoached, because he did get outcoached. When you have superior athletes to another team, you have to at times play with pace. And Shawnee, you know me, I'm a pace snob. And I will complain about all these teams that permanently play fast in the NBA without ever the whole, you know, slowing it down when that's the right thing to do. There's a lot of teams that don't do that. It goes the other way too. If you're gonna, you can't be a slow team all the time. You have to have times when your athletes are superior to the others. You're going to push the basketball up the floor, especially in spots where you get down in the game. They never altered their approach once. And listen, it's an embarrassing thing for these kids. It's something they're always going to have to live with. Having Tony Bennett stand there and take the bullet and take some blame for these kids would have been, to me, the noble thing to do. But listen to him kind of wax poetic and with, you know, it really didn't seem all that authentic to me to hear Tony Bennett want to tell us these wonderful lessons he just taught his kids in the locker room after they got their backsides kicked by a 16 seed as a number one overall seed in the tournament. I don't know. It seemed a little bit self-congratulatory to me. Maybe that's the wrong way to go, but you know, you just took this loss, man. You took it right with these kids, and I would have liked it better if Tony Bennett owned at least some of that on his own shoulders. Say, hey, I wish I had done some things better to have my kids in a better spot where they could have competed more in this game. One line would have maybe accomplished that. Bennett never went there, not once, and that was the big issue I had. And I tell you, I was surprised with the way a lot of people ran to Tony Bennett's defense almost blindly. Hey, this guy's wonderful. This guy's terrific. Listen, I hate to be like this. College basketball is a cesspool right now. Okay, there's not one shred of morality up and down the line with everything that goes on. It's just degrees of cheating. And it's not something that people are talking about these next couple of weeks because we have the NCAA tournament going on. But the reality is, I think we need to be really, really careful and have to learn a couple of lessons about making college sports coaches, basketball and football specifically, gods with some of the things that we've seen happen over the course of the last 10 years in college sports. And that part of it bothered me as well, Shawnee.
Oh, yeah, over the course of the last 10 months, for sure. No doubt about that. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, good stuff. Let's shift over to the NBA. Golden State, Geltz, all of a sudden with these injuries, Kevin Durant with the ribs, Steph with the ankles again. We've got a Golden State team that's been trotted out there the last few times with Draymond Green as their best player. What's the biggest concern for Golden State now as this regular season winds down with them, as it looks like it's more and more they're going to be the two seed?
Just making sure they have everyone healthy. And I think, listen, the most concerning injury out there right now is the Curry injury. Durant's injury heals with rest, and he doesn't need a ton of rest to heal. They've already punted to the one seed. They know they're not getting home court in the Western Conference, and they're not interested in trying because they want to make sure they're 100% healthy. And essentially, if they're 100% healthy, the road game they're going to have to win won't be much of an issue to win. So it's the right approach up and down the line. The one you concern yourself, and Thompson, the same thing. The fractured thumb, will heal fine. He'll be back. He'll shoot the ball well. It's Clay. It's fine. You worry about Curry's ankle because it's a chronic condition because it's come back over and over and over again. And Curry's got to take it a little more seriously also. After hurting it in Atlanta and then decided to go play Augusta the next day, wasn't the wisest choice he's ever made either. So there's some of that in there too. But I do think Curry's the one that you have to watch the most. But they're not going to rush anyone back. If you're Golden State and you're going to punt home court in a Western Conference and give up the one seed, and listen, you're up 9 games in a loss column on the Portland Trailblazers for the 3 seed. They're not catching you. You're entrenched in the 2 if that's where you want to be. And I think they're fine coming out of the 2. The problem for them, and I don't even think it's a big problem, is that it's you just have to make sure you get everybody back there with proper health in rhythm before the playoffs start. You don't want to be integrating players in the first round, just because when you look at the way the playoff situation is shaking out in the Western Conference, you may get a really tough opponent in the first round. This is not going to be like last year where you were able to win 15 games in a row in the playoffs before you lost one. That's not happening this year. So for them, they really have to get everybody right where they need them, play it safe. But listen, this is the way to go. Remember last year, Cleveland punted the one seed last year, didn't do it till the second week of April after they had played LeBron like 3 games in a row, upwards of 45 minutes. You know, that's not the way to do it. This is the way to do it.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, it's funny you say that. I'm looking at the standings. 4 teams, 5-8 in the Western Conference with identical 40-30 records. They all have their issues. They all have their upside. As of right now, today, on March 18th, which is the most dangerous of these 4 40-30 teams? Minnesota, Utah, the Spurs without Kawhi right now, and we can talk about that too, but New Orleans as well. What's the most dangerous of those 4 teams?
San Antonio, just because I don't believe they're not going to have Kawhi Leonard when the playoffs start. I don't think Kawhi Leonard came back to the team and put himself back in their hands to not play this season. And to me, when you know, granted, we're looking at major small sample size in terms of 2.5 quarters last year in game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. But if you're Golden State, you have to understand that if Kawhi is even close to the top of his game, they will play with you. They can play with you. They're good enough. They're deep enough. And if they have their lead dog, and especially with the way Aldridge has played this year and taken so much on his own shoulders, I think San Antonio is a nightmare for anybody. When I say anybody, I mean either Golden State or Houston. I mean, I think it's a mini disaster to draw one of those. I really do. To me, listen, I love what Utah's done. They're not going to be a problem in the first round. Minnesota's very green, and they're going to have to learn a lot about that process. And as well as Anthony Davis has played and what we've seen out of the Pelicans, it's hard to have a ton of faith there. So when you look at those 4 teams, it's clearly the Spurs that I think you have to worry about the most.
In a weird way, Geltz, if you're the Rockets or the Warriors, you're kind of rooting for Kawhi to come back. If you assume he's going to be back for the postseason, you're kind of hoping he comes back sooner rather than later so the Spurs play their way out of this 7-8 seed thing and maybe back into the 5-6 range, right?
100% right. You want Leonard back sooner rather than later so the Spurs are in a 3-6 or a 4-5 game and they're out of your hair in the first round. Listen, if the Spurs advance, you're going to have to get him anyway. But if they have a first-round series, there's a chance you don't get him. I mean, they did a couple of years back, they lost in the first round to the Clippers. So if you can get him in one of these 4 or 5 series, you never know what happens. So, yeah, I would tell you get Kawhi back as soon as possible and let them rise a little bit. Now, the flip side is that, you know, the sooner Leonard comes back, the better conditioned he's going to be for the playoffs, and you would figure he's going to find a rhythm by then. So there is a little bit of a downside to that. But, Shoney, I totally agree. You know what? They don't want the Spurs. The Rockets or the Warriors don't want the Spurs sitting at 7 or 8. That's a nightmare for both of them.
Geltz, last thing before I let you go. Russell Westbrook has triple-doubles in five games in a row with triple-doubles. He's back to close to averaging a triple-double. We know how in love the voters were with triple-doubles, and ESPN is with triple-doubles. And also Anthony Davis, you know, New Orleans is trying to get their little MVP campaign going for him. Is there any scenario, barring injury, that James Harden doesn't get the MVP, that anybody plays their way, and I'll throw LeBron in there too, I guess, that anybody plays their way into making this MVP race interesting?
Nope. It's James Harden's award. Sometimes, Shawnee, with the way the voters work for an MVP award, it could become a lifetime achievement award. And I'm not certainly not pouring cold water on what James Harden has done this year. He's been absolutely tremendous. He's been the best player on the best team. He's the best isolation player in the sport. And offensively, I'm not sure there's a bigger weapon in him in Houston's system right now. And you, so if you're kind of splitting hairs, even splitting, and I'm not splitting hairs. I think Harden is the MVP. But mm-hmm. if you're even splitting hairs a little bit, you're going to look at this guy who finished second two out of the last 3 years when, you know, when he got his Kardashectomy for last year. Okay, so you look at a guy like that and say he's putting up another one of those years. At a certain point, you break through. And, yes, Westbrook, he could average a triple-double again. The voters loved it last year because it was a little bit of a novelty act. And I'm not pouring cold water on his year. He was tremendous last year. He played great. He earned the award. This year, he's had a different role, and he has had to do some different things on a team that was way different than the team he had last year. And early on, and that's the thing I remember at MVP, Shawnee, it's 82-game award. And early on, Westbrook really was resistant to playing with these other guys. And it's taken time, and it's come together. And that's why I don't love this whole Anthony Davis campaign either. Because Anthony Davis has been amazing since Cousins went out. He was fine before Cousins went out, but that's not an MVP season. You could try to make your case for LeBron, and I think that's the only other guy besides James Harden that you would have a realistic case to make for MVP. But nonetheless, this is James Harden's award to lose this year, and I don't see a scenario. And we're getting deep enough into the season where even if the injury did take place, I'm not sure James Harden would lose the award anyway, Shawnee.
You may be right about that. Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, at HoopsCritic, and you can catch him on SiriusXM. Geltz, great stuff as always. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
I look forward to it, brother. Talk to you soon, pal. Take care.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Geltz. Appreciate you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.